Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Roundup show, and of course, I'm on my own tonight. There's no one going to host it with me tonight. They're all very, very busy, but I'm really, really pleased to say that been joined once again by Sam, of course, from BO, and I suppose it's one of those things where it's all new technology, and we'll go through that very, very shortly as well. And of course, Sam's in he's in Denmark. And of course, if you just heard our chat before we started recording the show, of course, Enfield Town are over there as well in Copenhagen for their game against Skjold in the Fenix Trophy this week as well. So that'll be a cracking game over there this week. And we wish all the best to all the Enfield fans. I think they're taking about 100 fans over there to Denmark. And I know they're slowly arriving, dribs and drabs, but I know there's a few over there already and a couple go out tomorrow morning. So it'll be. It'll be an interesting game. You can watch that on YouTube, of course, tomorrow night. If you want to watch Enfield Town in European competition, that's on YouTube tomorrow night. But I'm not sure what the weather's like. Before we go into VO, Sam, I'm not sure what the weather's like in Denmark, but we're not getting much non-league football over here at the minute, mate.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to say we've had some sunny days at last. I don't know if that's a teaser for spring, but I saw a lot of the games from my mates working in and around the non-league game were off on the weekend, and I keep a close eye on these things. So, yeah, apologies for that, but.
Well, it's quite funny because we'd literally just I do this as I said to you before. I do the Summer League goal show, and so far I've had three matches sent in to me, and two of the actual emails have been sent in to me from the same game, but from the home team and the away team. I've literally got two games for the Match of the Day program this week, so there is a few more out there that people haven't sent in, but it'll be I think it's going to be fun. But join us later on. There will be Andrew Large from that team that has sent in two versions of the game, Mousel. They'll come and join us later on for the Down the Mouse Hole section in a half an hour or so's time. But before then, I mean, so of course, big launch for VO in the last week, 10 days, and VO3's out, and it looks like it's going to be a great piece of kit for all the teams that have got it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the launch was an exciting night for the whole company and everyone involved, and obviously all of our customers and people as well. I think people have got to remember that there's two parts to the launch. There's the new camera, which has just got some slight improvements, and to kind of just to say that the VO2 is not that old at the moment. It's still kind of very, very functional, as with some people are still using the original VOs. The second part of that launch was the player stuff, which is called the VO Player Moments, where it's a software related thing, so it's not related to the actual camera, whether you've got your second version or the third version that will still work. So it's important to say that the launch was two parts. Camera being one of them, and specifics, and just a little bit better picture quality, and a few components for us that are easier to source and general things. But as it comes to the camera, without it doing any disservice to all of our engineers and the people that have worked really, really hard to bring this out, a camera is still the camera. It still records. The principle is still there. It records without a camera person operating it. And there's minor improvements that the customers see, but huge improvements in the way that the camera works and the company see things and the whole development side of it. So yeah, no, it's exciting. But yeah, that's about it.
I mean, so if someone's got a two and then someone's got a three, what are the slight, the slight differences in there? I know when we spoke last time, there was, I think there was a bit of talk about possibly taking, so you didn't end up getting rain on the lens and stuff like that. I mean, do you think is that got to a stage where that's been rectified, or is that something to come in maybe VO4 or VO5 coming in the years to come?
Yeah, the waterproofing is always something that's slightly improved. There's a coating on the lens on the VO2 and the VO3 indeed that helps the water slide off. Unfortunately, there's not much you can do about the wind and rain where it's coming into the camera. But the other major improvement, I think, all around is the 5G connectivity for people that want to stream. Now it's going to pick up the cell towers easier. You're going to be able to stream 5G, better connection, better viewing experience for your viewers, and the external stuff. So you know, you can stream to anywhere you want. So clubs can potentially monetize it now. You've got these streaming sites that can monetize footage. So you can stream directly to these sites and the club can start making a little bit of money back as well. Other hardware differences, the sound is much better. I think the VO2 and the VO1 were very good at picking up everything in terms of the background noise and the wind and all that kind of stuff. So the sound quality has been improved on the VO3 as well.
So just to interrupt you, you haven't got a bleep on it yet then, no? You know what it's like in non-league football? There's not an automatic bleep every time it is a
There's
word.
No bleep, but there is the ability to take the sound off altogether for those moments, shall we say. So yeah, but they're the general things, yeah. David. Everyone at VO is really proud of what they've done and what's to come in a couple of months as well with the player tracking stuff rolled out in pre-season here.
I think one of the things I've noticed with VO, when you see it more and more, because I mean, most of the clubs now have got a VO machine, if not all of them, especially in our league. And I think one of the things is you get that glare on the camera, maybe from like the floodlights or maybe from the sun. Do you think there'll ever be a situation where there'll be a lens that can sort of almost like an anti-glare lens, if you know what I'm trying to say? Because I mean, I know there's sometimes, and when you watch a match on it, it goes to the left and it's like, I can't see nothing. But then when it goes to the right, because the glare's not on the right side of the camera, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And this stuff is all within the app now. So when you're setting up, I think one of the improvements has been made is the app will recognise maybe that the camera's at a bad angle or the light's bad or there's a glare coming in. And it'll ask you to adjust some settings in the actual camera app when you're setting up for your game. So that's one thing that has been improved as well. I'm not sure about the types of lenses that will have an effect on the glare in a positive way, but there's definitely been improvements within the camera and the app to help us deal with the glare. And obviously non-league, you know, your Saturday, Tuesday, and as soon as you get into September, October, you're going to be dealing with floodlights, so we completely understand that.
No, I mean, with the camera itself, though, I mean, how many, you know, I know when we said last time, you know, there was still sort of like maybe, I don't know, maybe a third of the clubs maybe that didn't have it or whatever else. I mean, how's that going with that now with the sales wise of it? I mean, is that becoming a lot easier because people are seeing what, you know, what they can do? And, you know, and is it being easier to sort of now maybe where we've got like 80 odd clubs in our league, 80 odd clubs in the Eastman League, and probably the same in the Northern Prem, that you've now getting to that stage now where it's down to a bare minimum that haven't actually got that facility?
Yeah, I think it is down to a bare minimum, which is really cool. And across the, I think, steps maybe 1 to 9, I think we're covered at about 85-86% of football at that level where there's a camera somewhere in the club, whether it's a private person that has bought it, a coach for the youth age group, and the coach of the first team, men's, women's, it could be anyone. I think the goal for us now is to always make sure that everyone has the opportunity to record, whether you're the first team, women's team, youth academy team, or the kids. That's our goal. So that's what we're working towards. The sales, the conversations, I say, with English clubs in non-league are always familiar. We will say it's always pleasant. It's always nice to know that people have either seen it or have used it before, and they want to inquire about having another one that makes us real proud and happy to see. But yeah, I think the goal is to try and develop it even further down the pyramid, and obviously just like Southern League, for example, where it's heavily. Used is to try and get something where, you know, people are now streaming or making money from it, or
oh, we lost your sound, mate. We've just lost your sound, just so you know. We'll just wait for Sam then to sort of come back with us. I think he can hear me, but we can't hear him. But I say later on, we have actually got Mazel. We've got Andrew Large is going to come and join us a little bit later on, maybe in another 20 minutes or so. Andrew will turn up and talk to us about his game at the weekend, of course, against Wimborne, which unfortunately didn't go the way they wanted it to go. But it'll be great to talk to them as well. But I don't think we've picked up your volume again, Sam. I think we're still struggling for your audio. Yep, still can't hear, mate. Two technical difficulties between here and Denmark, I think. But, I mean, at the weekend, we were saying before, of course, the fact that around that we've lost a lot of games at the weekend. And of course, for those people, while we're waiting for Sam to try and get the audio sorted, we'll go through some of those games from the weekend and just to show you really how many did play. I mean, two games, of course, played in the Summer League Central this weekend, both on 3G. Hartford Town 1, Wellington City 2, and Wellington City and Hartford both on great runs, but Wellington City continue their great run. Where in Cirencester, of course, two teams fighting it out to try and get that that place in the playoffs, and Where won that game by a goal to nil penalty for Where. I think Sam may be back. I just see the audio said it just been connected, but
I can hear you.
Yeah,
can you
hear me? There we go. So Sammy's back. But so we were just saying, you know, with that, how many of the teams have we actually got then? In you know that maybe have. I don't know, maybe have two or three VO machines, you know, it may be in non-league. Because I know when we spoke the last time, we were saying, you know, like some of the youth teams might have it, but, you know, then the first teams may not have it. I mean, have you found that, you know, some of these clubs that have picked up if it's VO or VO2, you know, that looks at that and go, well, what a great piece of kit that is. We need to get one for the first team, or we need to get one for the reserves or the kids. Or do you feel that more people are actually, you know, sharing the, you know, the technology, and, you know, and is there any deals out there for people that if they've got one in the club already, if they've got another one, they get it a little bit cheaper?
Yeah, absolutely. We find that about half the clubs are going on to about this second. There is deals. We have partnerships with all of the Step 3 and 4, let's say the Southern League, Northern League, and Eastman League all have partnerships with us at VO. So every club that's affiliated to those leagues can get a good deal off us, especially if it's their second or third camera. Especially, you know, the subscription side of things, there's little bits that we can do there as well, in terms of the add-ons and the analytics stuff. So, yeah, absolutely. Each kind of person that comes to us or club that comes to us has specific needs, so we'll always recommend something that's maybe best for them. But yeah, absolutely. The deals are, you know, and the Southern League, you know, we're at the AGM most years and all that kind of stuff as well. So it's great to see everyone come back as well. The Isthmian and Northern League, we also do the AGM. I think that a couple of them are on the same weekends as well, so we try to spread ourselves out. But yeah, definitely.
So with the actual camera itself, I mean, is it specifically just for football and maybe rugby, those sort of sports, or can you use the VO for other sports as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got all our invasion games. So that's football. Rugby's our second biggest sport in the world. We've got a dedicated rugby team. That's how big it is. And as you can imagine, the rugby's played in a whole bunch of nations as well. And you've got Six Nations on as well. So they're really, really busy at the moment. But especially with Australia, New Zealand, South African customers, as well as the European rugby ones, and two codes there. Rugby's huge for us. And you've got basketball, volleyball, hockey, and little things on the side like ice hockey and water polo works well for them. But the school side of things, they use us for grading so that the schools get it in. You've got multi sports that can record. Pupils that need to GCSE record, they need to have highlights and stuff for them to be accessed by external stuff. The schools that get the cameras in and just use it for all the sports all year round, and it provides an easy solution for them.
I mean, I'll ask you this question. I'm not saying you'll know the answer to this question. I don't know, but I mean, roughly? I mean, how many cameras, you know, when did the company first start, and when did it really sort of kick in to being such a success that it's turned out to be? And I suppose the sort of third question would be, do you know roughly how many cameras you've sold through the years?
So the first question with VR, I think it was developed in 2015, 16. First camera sold in early 2018. So that's that part. Second question was how many cameras? Roughly, I think there's upwards of 20,000 systems in the world. I think now we, I think the last month the numbers were there were maybe over 1.5 million matches recorded in that month. So it's totally global. Over 100 countries now. And I think the biggest thing that I've seen change, I've been in VR for 4 years now, is just the speed at which new things come out, especially on the platform side of things. It's become a tool where, it's a lot of the stuff is, it's recorded and then you get all your stats in possession and the clips tagged up for you. As a coach like myself, it just saves a whole bunch of time. So that's probably the biggest thing that's moved forward in my time at VO.
And it just seems to be, I know it sounds funny for people probably to say, but it's almost as you go to a ground now and you always see at least one, maybe two, and it just become part of non-league football now. Do you know what I mean? It just seems to be turned up to a game, it's just part and parcel. It's almost like that's in the kit bag along with the shirts and the footballs. Do you know what I mean? You've always got something there, you know, where years ago, you know, you probably wouldn't have seen one at all, didn't know what it was. But for me, I think in the last maybe, especially over here, maybe in the last 5 years, I think this just seems to have gone absolutely like a massive boom.
Yeah, the growth of the last couple of years, I think, has been phenomenal. And the company's grown and all that kind of stuff as well. And that's what something that we are, that's the goal. And I think non-league football and especially just UK football in general, where we're lucky that the geography is that, it's 5, 10 miles and there could be two or three non-league clubs, especially in London, within the space. So if someone has it, then the word spreads around easier. And I think that's where the UK growth has especially come with the amount of football clubs there are in a small geographical area. And we found the same in other countries. Germany, for example, had rapid growth the last few years, where they took a while to get off, but now it's the growth has been huge there. Whereas the geographically bigger countries like Australia and America, the growth has been steady, but not a huge sharp one. But definitely, it's the growth. It's so interesting, and I think that what we're trying to do with the UK is, like you say, with this one or two cameras at hopefully every ground is replicate that model in other markets as well.
Is soccer the biggest sport though for it? And you know, is that the one that you seem to sell more for you know, for I shouldn't call it soccer really, I should call it football. But is that the biggest, is that the biggest sort of sport, you know, sort of maybe in this country but worldwide? Is that and is that because some people, so people that may not know the camera too well would probably sort of recognize it to be a football camera rather than maybe a multi-sport camera?
Absolutely. And football is our biggest sport by a very, very lengthy margin, and that margin increases every day because that's what we sell the most to. But it's by no means stopping the growth. Rugby's a very close, not, I wouldn't say very close second, but rugby's second and it's still growing. But the amount of development that's gone into just the football side of the product, if you think of just the camera and then the analysis features that gives you, like possession statistics and all that kind of stuff. It's all developed around football, because not only it's our biggest market, but it's our fastest growing as well. So I think it's you know, for me, it's football background. I know it's easy for me. I know I speak to some people and they say, oh, well, you know, can we get this for other sports? And it's, you know, you have to be honest with them and say, look, it's not going that way at the moment. We're focused on football and a couple other main sports like rugby and basketball that we see as big growers. But yeah, definitely the football side of things is something huge at the moment.
Is the UK the biggest market, or is there other countries out there that top us?
It's the second biggest market. The US is the biggest market. They,
Oh, okay.
I'm sure a lot of people listening in will probably know this, but the model in the US can be slightly different within how let's say grassroots football or recreational football or elite football is over there. There's a lot of clubs which have a you know, where, you know, it's a profitable to be a football club, where they charge a lot of money for parents to participate in elite football, and they pay this money, but on one side of things it's expensive for them to pay, and the other side of things, you know, they'll have coaches who are paid good salaries and stuff like VO and GPS vests and all the rest of it. And it's such a vast population, a vast country. I think that that's why the US is the biggest market for VO, as well as, you know, there are other sports as well. You've got basketball over there, which is huge, and it works for basketball well. So the US is the biggest VO market today, yeah.
Do you get clubs, especially maybe some of the professional clubs, that as soon as you say, well, look, you know, we're releasing the VO3 or the VO2 or the VO4, whatever it may be, do you get that influx of orders to start off with straight away, because they, you know, they want that sort of latest camera, you know, or they want the latest, you know, not some people would do with iPhones and stuff like that. Do you actually get that sort of upsurge?
Yeah, you always get a little upsurge, and it's a mix between people who are maybe on the fence that haven't got a VO before, that are okay, let's bite the bullet here. This new system, let's get it. And then there's a mix of, I wouldn't only say just professional clubs, but all people that just want the latest product and just want the newest product, and that's fair enough. So yeah, mixture of both. I'd say the pro clubs that come to us that have their VOs, you know, they use it very for all the specific reasons, and they have staff around to do all the stuff associated with VO as well. So sometimes they'll go, okay, well, we're just happy with what we got at the moment because we've got staff that take care of all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they're happy as they go, and there's some that just go, yeah, okay, we want the latest stuff. You know, we're a pro club, we want to invest in the latest technology. So yeah, a mixture of both.
Do you get many sort of like much feedback from those professional clubs that may have it, that you know, they come back to you and say, look, you know, Sam, look, you know, I think this might be a good idea, or that might be a good idea, and something that maybe then you go back to the powers that be and say, look, you know, I'm just using it as an example, as it's my team, but Arsenal have turned around and said they think this might be a good idea to add to the software or to add to the camera and all the rest of it. I mean, is that something that you listen to with the, you know, these professional clubs, that, you know, you then look at and see if it's actually feasible to put into the next either software update or camera update?
Yeah, I think the feedback that I would, and we try our best to listen to everyone, but I think the feedback that we try act upon, or, you know, all that kind of stuff, is the feedback that comes from customers who outline the profile of what we have. And you'd say 80% of our customers are not professional clubs. They're either grassroots, children's elite football, stuff like the JPL or, you know, these kinds of leagues, or academy football, or indeed the elite semi-professional men's and women's side of things, which is the non-league stuff, and the equivalent to that all over the rest of the world. That's 80% of our customers. So what they say is really, really important, because we know that they represent a large part of our customer base, as well as obviously the professional clubs. And believe it or not, I think that there's not too much difference in what people feed back to us. And I could tell you, it's no big secret. You know, Vio's a fantastic resource for, you know, cutting out the camera operator and making that whole process easier. Record a game, don't need anyone to operate a camera. It's all done for you, the zoom in, the panning. Everyone can understand that. But what happens is then you've got this game and you're at all levels of football and you've got all our guys listening in that play non-league or that coach in non-league. They'll get this game and they'll have a job. They'll have a full-time job. They might have a family. They might have kids like me. And where does the time come to do analysis? You know, your mouse hole and you travel hundreds of miles a week to play a game and you've got kids and you've got family and you've got your full-time job. Well, how do you analyse a game? Where does that time come? So the most feedback we get is how can they save us time, whether that's in the analysis or clipping bits for them or finding a way to get bits from the game without them having to do stuff. So that's where our development's heavily gone in the last year or two. So, you know, the camera now on certain packages, you'll get all your set pieces and all the chances are done for you. So you can go back and just see that. And the next thing is the player stuff. So all the players have their clips done for them. So that's the biggest feedback we get. And then it's just kind of evolving that and seeing where we can go from it. We always get the stuff, you know, I remember when people were feeding up back to us, we need a camera that live streams. So it took a couple of years, but we got there. But we always take stuff really, really seriously. I know there's the engineers and stuff, they have a good process of getting in touch with our customers and getting feedback and proactively asking them, you know, what can we do better and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I know you sort of like shattered me down with this one the last time we spoke, but for me, the biggest, you know, whenever you get, and you've just sort of summed it up a little bit, I suppose, where you will get people that maybe that have got the VO camera, they haven't necessarily got somebody to sit there and go into it later on and go, don't spend loads and loads of times doing editing and stuff. Is there any way in the future that the camera will be clever enough to zoom in on its own and zoom back out again without actually going into it and hitting this figure and that, you know, this button and that button when you're doing the editing? So is there any way sort of like, I think it's got better. I mean, I know originally when I'd look at it and it was like watching Sabutio. That's how, yeah, I look at it. It's like, who's scored? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When you're trying to do it from my, now it's got a lot better, but I'm just saying it'd be great to see it, you know, being able to, I don't know if that would be a case of using AI in there or using whatever it might be, but to actually get the situation where the camera knows that it can zoom in to the edge of the box or whatever else and then pull out. Do you know what I mean? All to, yeah, that sort of thing. So it's, when they actually go in to edit it, it's already done for them rather than having to go in, yeah, there and press zoom or whatever else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're talking about the interactive stuff where you can zoom in more. I know that's a big thing for, you know, especially the goals and the celebrations where, you know, someone's wheeling off into the crowd and the VO's still stuck on the ball in the goal.
I think it's that case sometimes where, you know, someone's like recording it like Mousel, they've got their own cameraman that records the game. So you'll see, yeah, that, and then he goes in like that and he knows where he should be zooming in on the live feed and where he should be zooming back out or whatever else.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, even if that goes in now into that situation where people are then going to live stream it, would that be a better option where, you know, the camera would be able to do that, to zoom in so people get a bit more of a viewing experience, if you know what I'm trying to say, rather than just having it at the same sort of level of zoom all the time?
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. To be honest, I'm not sure, but I think that what we'll touch on is the viewing experience, the streaming experience and all that kind of stuff, is that there's a lot of development going in the live part of the application or the live stream part of the stuff where, you know, I remember first when they first came out with it, it was just a live stream. You log on to the live stream 10 minutes in, you don't know what the score is because there's no clock and there's no scoreboards or anything like that. But now there is that stuff. But I think it could be something that's done in there, where you have a producer that goes, okay, we need to zoom in a little bit more here, and they can control that stream a little bit better. But I get what you're saying exactly. Yeah. But I don't have the answer there for you,
Yeah, and
unfortunately. But
I think it's
yeah.
just one. I think it's just one of those things as well, isn't it? And not just through VO, but for anybody that's recording anything, you just think these days people would be with the way that sort of technology's moved forward. You'd think that whatever software they're running it through or whatever, if it's VO or whatever else, that you would have that up in a corner if it was, I don't know, say like Enfield Town versus, Scold tomorrow night, or the opposite way around tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That the camera would know that 16's just scored, and it puts across the bottom of the screen. I'm probably thinking way in the future, but
No, I think
you know what I
I
mean?
think to be
16 has
honest, I
scored.
think
Do you know what I mean? Without anybody else knowing, the camera knows because you've got that technology inside the
yeah.
camera. It's already you've just got to feed in at the beginning, who's number one, who's number two, who's number three, who's number four, into the system. So then
Yeah.
when it actually then goes out there and does it. The camera can actually physically pick up the number four's just scored or number 16's just scored, and you could have that at the bottom, and as you say, like a running clock with the two teams in the corner, which would be part of the software stuff that you put in before the game starts.
Absolutely. And I mean that technology's out. It's out. I think that's how the biggest people do it. But I don't think it's far off, to be honest, because now with the player stuff coming out in the summer, that's what you'll have to do. You'll have to put in a lineup. You'll have and the technology works by the shirt numbers, so that's how it recognizes the moments and the players and stuff like that. So I think it's totally feasible. I don't know how. I'm not clever enough to develop that kind of stuff, unfortunately. But in my mind, I think, yeah, that's it. It could be easy. Why don't we just do
There's people sitting there watching, going, "What is he saying? How are we going
it?"
to do that?"
I think you've just come up with an extra great idea. So.
I think it's just one of those things. I think you just saying there about picking up the shirt numbers, and it was. I think it's been funny when we do commentary for Enfield, and I think one of the worst ones we had. When we was doing the commentary, and we could not pick up the numbers on the back of these shirts, and we were playing Carr Shorten, and Carr Shorten had probably one of the best kits I've ever seen. It was a stunning kit, sort of red and white, sort of. I can't even explain it, but it was like checkers or whatever else it was. Stunning kit. The downside to it was on the back, the numbers were the same color as the colors on the shirt.
No,
So, of course, you're sitting there trying to read. Someone's had a shot, and you're trying to give the commentary, and you're going, "I'm really, really sorry, but we're struggling this time here to just pick up what these are." Where there was, if it had been in black, the numbers were in black, you'd have picked it up perfectly. But it was really weird because you're going, "Well, I think it was so-and-so passable," but no, he's over there now. But of course, they can't actually see that, so you're sort of like fudging it as you're going along because no one can see what you're seeing. So you're sort of semi-fudging it as you actually go along. But we're just thinking about cameras and stuff, and trying to pick stuff up like that. But it would be great fun. But there we go. Can you hear me now? Hey, so it's Dan. It must have been. It was sounding like it was a good game at the weekend.
It was a fantastic game. Superb advert for Southern League football on a very tricky pitch, which passed his patch of passed a pitch inspection. It was very sticky, very soggy, but the same for both sides. And in the second half in particular, Wimborne showed why they're everyone's favourites to win the league.
Yeah.
They were very good. Also, fantastic club, fantastic officials, superb supporters. They get gates of about 600 to 800 at home, so I think they're well set for going back to the Premier Division, which they left, I think, 2 seasons, 3 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, no disgrace whatsoever in losing to them. But there was a bit of a gap, particularly in the second half. And as I always say to you every week, there's a lot to learn. Whether you win or lose or draw, there's a lot to learn. And that's what we're doing in our first season. We're learning.
And I see all the ground grading starting to happen, walls being knocked down and stuff.
Oh, God, yes. Except today when the place was washed out, apparently. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a bit late in the day, but there's every confidence amongst those who are managing the process that sort of get it done at the 11th hour, or I think probably 23:59 is probably the answer. Yeah.
So when are they coming to check it all in, or when what's the date they've been given, or have you been given a bit of an extension?
Well, this is the situation. The official deadline is the 31st of March, which is the Easter weekend. So I presume some sort of official visit will take place afterwards.
Hmm.
Who knows? I don't know.
And you might have a little bit of extra time, of course, because it's a bit of a journey for anybody to come down and have a look.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if they could take 3 or 4 days, it would be to our advantage. Yeah. But as we've said to you every week, it's a tough ask for a promoted club to have to meet the standards, you know, in basically 10 months after confirmation of promotion. It's a tough ask. And especially with a club like ours, because we've actually gone up the leagues quite quickly. And, you know, where people say you should have been planning for this in advance, I think to some extent, performance on the field has outstripped the ability of the club to keep up. It's now catching up, but it's one hell of an ordeal. Mm. And it's not just the work, it's the planning permission, it's the building regulations, it's the Environment Agency, it's the timeliness of the grant, it's how you top up the grant. And you've got to take, you know, as you will know, probably from all building work is subject to delays. Mm. It's nobody's fault. That's just the way it is. Materials delay, weather, whatever, unforeseen circumstances. But that's where we are.
Mm. I mean, what's the situation with the road? I mean, is that sort of on the back burner for a little bit until you get the stadium ready? Or is that still they're ready to go as well?
Yep. We got planning permission 2.5 years ago, and we acquired the land to build an access road directly off the local main road, which is in fact the B road between Penzance and Land's End. So we got planning permission for that. That's all set to go, but it's costly. So this is the situation. The idea, we've got a plot of land that we own on the edge of the acreage that surrounds Trungle Park, which we own freehold, for which we've put in a different planning application for a building plot. So the jigsaw piece is, if that gets planning permission and it gets sold, that will fund the building of the new road.
Right.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the meantime, that track you came up when you came to see us last Easter is even more potholed now. Every time you get a week of wet weather, the water digs the holes even bigger.
Yeah.
And of course, for a club like ours, we've got a choice. Do we spend money filling those potholes, knowing that they'll probably open up again? Or do we put all our energies into trying to get the new road built, which will obviously be built to a proper standard? It will give much better access to the club. It's likely to increase the ability of the club to host other events other than football. It can only be a good thing, but it's very costly. And as you, everyone listening to this will know, costs of doing anything are rising all the time. So the projections from a year ago are way out of date.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I mean, where is, like yourself and Derek and that, we head together. So, you know, you get to the situation this year where you get into playoffs or whatever else, and then you get successful again. Of course, then there's another ground grading to happen at this time next year. I mean, is that a situation where, you know, you've decided to look at it and go, well, if it happens, it happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Worry
yeah.
about it next year, or are we worrying about it?
Yeah. You know, no,
it's got to be done.
We did a lot of research on this 14 months ago, January, where are we now, 23. Mm. We looked into the ground grading situation, and to go from step 5 to step 4, which is what we've done, the requirements are massive. But to go from step four to step three, they're quite minor by comparison. So, for example, you've got to have a third turnstile. You've got to have another 50 seats. You've got to have a bigger press box. It's things like that. They are quite minor compared with having to provide 150 seats. You know, this year, enlarge the dressing rooms, have a medical room, have a bigger dual gender match officials rooms and things like that. That's the big step. That is the big step that we're currently dealing with. Once that is done, then if by any chance we happen to be on the verge of going to step three, we will know exactly what needs to be done. And it will be done relatively easily compared with what's needed to be done this season. But that's a long way ahead. We've still got 11 matches to play, 8 at home, 3 away. And as we say every week, the team in 15th could end up in the playoffs.
Yeah, and we were looking at it last night, actually, in the interviews that I was doing last night with the Ware manager and the Welling Garden City manager last night. Yeah. And we actually worked it out with teams with the amount of games they've got in hand. I think there's 19 teams in the Central League, and the 18th place team could get into the playoffs.
Exactly.
And because they were working it out, I think before we actually physically looked into it more, they were saying, I think the Welling Garden City manager said, well, if we're 8 points behind at this stage, he said, I still fancy our chances.
Yeah.
When we worked it out, the team that's actually sitting bottom of one would be 8 points behind if they won their games in hand.
Yeah.
So we just tell us, if you're saying that, then that means that right the way down to 18th place could still get the playoffs.
It's very similar in the Division One South. It's not quite as extreme as that. But I think you've also got to look at some of the teams in the top six have played something like 28 games. So they've got the points on the board. But there are teams in mid-table who've only played 23 games. That's a 5-game difference.
Yeah.
But you could argue, if you've only played 23 games, you're going to have to play a lot of midweek fixtures between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
And if there are any more postponements between now and Easter, clubs who've got a lot of games to play will be in a lot of trouble fulfilling those fixtures. You know, there'll be injuries, you know, unavailability, all sorts of things. So you could argue the clubs with the points on the board can relax. They can't do anything more. They've got the points on the board. But it's a bit of a, I wrote this morning, it's a bit of an artificial situation. And I think we've discussed this almost every week. The only thing you do know is, in our division, there are two, possibly three, top-class sides at the top.
Hmm.
Yeah? And then there's a points gap back down to the remaining playoff places. And then this compressed 10-point gap between, I don't know, 5th and 15th, with people having played a crazy difference, different numbers of games. We're right in the middle of that, so anything could happen. One thing we think about is we've got 8 games to play at home and 3 away. And that might sound good on paper, but it does not take its toll on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely takes its toll on the pitch. So we've got a problem at the moment in worrying about our development team, you know, our reserve team and our women's team also play on the same pitch.
Hmm.
They've had postponements. They've got catch up to play. So what you don't want is in the last couple of weeks of the season, when perhaps you've got 3 home games, to be playing on a ploughed field. That wouldn't be anyone's fault. That's just the consequence of a grass pitch in a very, very wet area of the country with loads and loads of footfall on it, or bootfall, whatever you want to call it.
And of course, talking about a home game this weekend, Cribbs.
Yes. They will be, I imagine, on a bit of a revenge mission. a couple of weeks ago, we went there and we ended their 16-month home unbeaten record. And I imagine they weren't best pleased with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we scored about 2 or 3 minutes from the end, having withstood a bombardment. You know what it's like as an away side. You sort of survive a bombardment, you know, long throws, corners, free kicks, constant pressure for about 25 minutes. And then if you're a neutral, you're actually watching the away side thinking, bloody hell, we're still in this match. And they go away and nick a goal right at the end.
Yeah.
And it seems like an injustice, but that's football, isn't it? That's what we did. So I can't imagine anything other than Cribs will arrive on Saturday thinking we're going to put the record straight. And of course, they're third, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only a couple of points off the top.
Yeah.
They can't afford to lose on Saturday.
No, not at all. And it's going to be a great, great game. I'm just gutted. I can't get there because I'm too far away. But I don't think I'll be able to get out of work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and get to Cornwall by three. I don't think it's possible.
Well, 3 o'clock the next day.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah,
you can always come and watch us on Easter Monday.
Yeah, I'll try. We never know. See what we're
in Exmouth Town that day, local derby.
We'll see if I'm working. I'm not sure what.
Yeah,
what
just 125-mile trip for them.
Yeah. Well, listen, mate, we do apologise for all the issues we've had tonight. So a massive apology.
That was good fun.
But we will be back, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. I'm actually on a course next week, so I won't be around next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks, 2 weeks' time.
Evening off next week.
Yeah, for the next show.
Be able to watch Only Connect live instead of on playback.
So we can watch that. But a massive thank you, of course, to Sam, who was with us earlier. Yeah. And a massive thank you to Andrew as well. And a thank you to everybody who's been watching. Until next week, good night. Stay where you are, Andrew. And we'll see you then. Goodbye.
See you guys.